This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio at the American Tobacco Historic District, and we'd like to welcome our new listeners in Fayetteville and the Sandhills region who are now hearing us by way of WFSS-FM. Thank you for tuning in. And as you may know, UNC Chapel Hill and pharmaceutical giant GlaxoSmithKline are creating a partnership with the goal that was once thought to be impossible, producing a cure for AIDS. This week, scientists at UNC and GSK said a new concerted effort to fight HIV and AIDS could yield a cure in the next few decades. And GSK is providing the initial investment, a sign that Big Pharma is renewing its support for eradicating the virus. Jason DeBruin's been following the story for the Triangle Business Journal, and he joins me now on the State of Things. Welcome back, Jason.
Hi, Frank. Good to be on with you.
Good to talk with you. Give us the details now. How will this deal work?
So it does get in the weeds pretty quickly, but here are the high notes. The GSK will form a joint venture, basically a new company that's controlled 50-50 by GSK, the company, and by UNC. This new company is called Cura, Q-U-R-A, and its sole mission is to fund projects or fund research that will eventually cure HIV/AIDS. In addition, UNC is also establishing this new research center, and it's going to be right there on UNC's campus. It will probably have upwards of 50 people working there, many of them research scientists with, you know, MDs and PhDs. They will also bring over some folks from GSK to do a lot of the research. But the Cura, the company, its mission is to fund research that's being done there at the center, again, with the 100% goal of finding cures for HIV/AIDS.
All right, well, let's find out what they give and what they get. First, what do they put into this, GSK and UNC? What does each of those institutions have to contribute to this project?
So Glaxo's committed $20 million, and UNC is committing 19,000 or closer to 20,000 square feet of research space. So that's sort of the nuts and bolts. That $20 million is a full commitment. It's a five-year deal, and after that 5 years, we'll sort of reassess and see what might happen. But up until that five-year point and up until that $20 million is spent, that's locked in. So we're definitely going to get that much in research spending, again, to find a cure. After that, of course, it could continue. Both sides say that they hope that it will continue at that point. But we're looking at least $20 million, and again, the research space is on UNC's campus.
All right, and what do they get?
Well, that's the question. That's sort of now they got to put their nose to the grindstone and get to work. You know, it's kind of funny. They make this big announcement to the other day, even though they don't really have any new scientific breakthroughs to announce. You know, certainly they've been working. UNC has been one of the leaders in HIV research for decades. You might remember back in 2011, there Dr. Myron Cohen was awarded the Breakthrough of the Year by the prestigious academic journal Science for some research he did in showing basically the ability to stop transmission of the virus, which was incredible. Many other researchers, Dr. David Margolis, the director of the center, being another one. I think you've heard about the shock and kill method that was developed here at UNC by Dr. Margolis. Anyways, that research is going to continue. So again, even though there's really nothing to announce immediately, all of this research that's been done at some disparate parts of UNC Chapel Hill and some of it at Glaxo will now move under this centralized hub, and hopefully they'll have plenty of things to announce. You know, I should also mention that center, one of their goals is to continue to apply for particularly NIH grants. So although, of course, UNC has been applying for grants for many decades, that's one of this center's goals as well, is to apply for grants and continue to do that early stage research. Then once the research moves along and there's maybe something to translate or to, you know, spin out of the research center, but it still needs a little bit more work, that's when the center would apply to Cura, the company, for some funding, when maybe the NIH would not want to fund the research on a further level.
So this brings a little closer relationship between that basic research and the grant money that goes to that and the kind of the applications that the industry is looking for.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think you said it very well just then. NIH does look to fund early stage research. It's very much, if I'm a researcher, I have a hypothesis about how, you know, some protein might affect the body in some special way. And there's been very little research done, maybe if any, on that topic. I can then say to the NIH, hey, I have this hypothesis. I'd like to work it out. Give me some money so that I can see what happens. The NIH likes that type of research. What they don't like as much is if you say to them, hey, I've already done a lot of testing. I think this can be turned into a commercializable drug. Give me some money to figure that out. That's when the NIH says, actually, here we're going to back off. We're going to let you go try to find some venture capital money, maybe go try to find some big pharma money to see if you can then take the early research that you've done and maybe turn it into some commercializable type drug. Since that's when the NIH likes to take a step back, this is exactly where GlaxoSmithKline wants to come in with its $20 million through Cura, the company, then fund the research at that point, hopefully get something that's commercializable, and then, of course, take that to market.
If we look at what has been on the market so far with regard to AIDS, it's mostly drugs that have controlled the disease or stopped the transmission, as you said. It would give you the impression that the search for a cure has been back-channeled for a while. Is that true, and does this signal a renewed interest in finding an actual cure for AIDS?
I don't know that I would say it's been back-channeled. I just would maybe say that we've just been more successful in finding the prevention type treatments. It's interesting. In terms of are we able to treat the disease? Yes, we really are. I mean, people live healthy, relatively normal lives with HIV every single day all across the world. Now they have to take a lot of drugs every day to do this, but you know there are many people that are living with the disease. What we don't have is, as you mentioned, a way to cure it. And so ideally, I think the research that comes out of the center is going to be doubled down and focused really on finding a cure.
Let's look at the business side of this, because we know GSK recently laid off a number of workers, mostly in the research area. And at that time, we were talking about GSK and other pharmaceuticals looking to kind of downsize and farm out this kind of research. I guess this is an example of that, creating their own company, a smaller, more agile company, to do the kind of thing that they had sort of had under one roof.
Yeah, it is. I think that's a good way of looking at it. And I don't know, or I should say these public-private partnerships, I think, will become more common across the nation, maybe even across the world going forward. Let's be clear. Glaxo does not see this as a charity case. They're not trying to donate $20 million to UNC here for just some research. I mean, they absolutely want to be able to commercialize products that come out of this. But yes, I mean, HIV is an area that even just recently Glaxo has said that they're going to continue to take a look at. In their first quarter earnings announcement just the other week, they sort of shifted course. They're in a partnership with Pfizer for a company called Viiv Healthcare, V-I-I-V. This is basically where they have their entire HIV portfolio. It was something that maybe 6-9 months ago, GSK had said they were looking to potentially spin out and turn into its own separate company. But just this first quarter, they decided instead to keep it in-house. Then again, you know, the week after that is when they made this announcement with UNC. So I think sort of in the executive suites of GSK over in London, they see a good market opportunity here in their HIV portfolio and want to sort of double down and build on that and have that, you know, turn into maybe a way to make a little more money. You know, Glaxo has for several years now seen on the pharmaceutical side, seen their revenues decline. That's happening particularly because Advair is seeing some sales declines. Advair, obviously, right, the drug that's made here locally, so it does have some local impact. But I think Glaxo is hoping that that its HIV portfolio could sort of come behind that and make up for some of that lost revenue.
I wonder if shareholders see it that way, and I'll ask you about that, because if to the big wide world, it sounds very promising to know that in the next few decades we could have a cure for AIDS. If I'm an investor, the next few decades feels like a long way off, a long way to payday.
That's true, but don't forget, I mean, pharmaceutical investors, they are sort of long-term investors. They have that long-term goal in mind. We're not talking about developing a new app or some new smartphone. I mean, these drug development companies take a long time for you to see a return on your money. The benefit, however, is that oftentimes, if you invest in the right company, you see a much larger return. You mentioned about how shareholders are accepting this or how receiving this. At least in the short term, they do seem to like it. The share price for Glaxo is up on the announcement, so it's something that they at least initially seem to be happy about. That said, GSK is down in the past, you know, several quarters, particularly compared to its investors. I know the Financial Times of London did a big comparison, and since CEO Andrew Witty took over back in 2008, they're actually down some 80% compared to their peers. So certainly they have a lot of ground to make up, but you know, this is one step in that direction.
All right. Well, Jason, as always, it is a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
Jason DeBruin, a reporter for the Triangle Business Journal. Just ahead, we preview The Land of No Things, a new exhibit at Chapel Hill's Ackland Art Museum. You'll hear that on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.